TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. The Devil's Chessboard, Alan Dulles, the CIA, and the Rise of America's Secret Government. Questions and Answers, Part 3. When the U.S. rose to world power after World War II, one man had incomparable influence, Alan Dulles, spokesperson and lawyer for Wall Street and the most powerful corporations, including members of the oil cartels. Alan Dulles defined and helped build what became known as...
You're tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, community radio for East Central Illinois. Today's Disability Beat is sponsored by our community partners, Jets Pizza. Jets uses only premium ingredients, including dough made fresh daily. Jets Pizza stores are located at 512 South Neal Street in Champaign, 217-352-3333. And 1907 West Springfield Avenue, the phone number there is 217-352-9992. You can also order online at jetspizza.com. Disability Beat is also sponsored in part by attorney Baku Patel of Patel Law, who practices Social Security disability law and represents those who have been denied benefits. There are no fees unless Patel Law wins your case. You can contact Patel Law at 217-384-1111 for a free consultation to discuss your Social Security disability case. Patel Law is located at 108 West University Avenue in Urbana with offices in Danville and Decatur. For more information, visit patellawteam.com or call 217-384-1111. And tonight at the Art Theater at 7:30, the Department of Jewish Studies at UIUC presents a free screening of A Borrowed Identity, a fine blend of the universal, teen, love, rebellion, tragedy, while also working as sharp social critique. For up-to-date info on all dates, times, and movie summaries, you can go to artheater.coop/full schedule.
My name is Tom Miebach from Crosspoint Human Services. You're listening to Disability Beat on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, community radio for East Central Illinois.
This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, joined today by my guest on the phone, Gary Arnold. And Gary has been a real resource for me over the last few years. You're sending people my way to be interviewed and has great ideas for programs. And so I thought, why not have him on the program? Actually, I thought of this after reading an article that Gary wrote on the Huffington Post. And when I went to check further and read the article again before the show today, I realized that actually Gary has been a regular contributor to the Huffington Post, which is I found to be very interesting. So welcome to the show, Gary.
Thanks. It's a real pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me to participate.
So, I wasn't real sure how to introduce you. I did read on the Huffington Post article that you're actually the president of Little People of America, and I'm assuming that's still true.
That is true. Yeah, I'll be for a couple more years yet, unless for some reason they have cause to kick me off.
I seriously doubt that's going to happen. And you also are an Illinoisan. You are in Chicago, correct?
Correct. I live in Chicago, and I work for a disability rights organization and disability rights and service organization called Access Living.
And Access Living does a lot of great work, too. So, you are doubly well connected there. So, I would just like to get your perspective on how you got your relationship with the Huffington Post to get these articles out, and what has is the focus of the majority of your work?
A couple of years ago, in 2009, every year Little People of America hosts a national conference for members around the country. And in 2009, it was in Brooklyn, New York. And at that point in time, the conference was being held just a few months after there was an episode of the Celebrity Apprentice, the show with Donald Trump and some celebrities on it. And on one particular episode, the celebrities were given this task to make a commercial advertising detergent, but it was a concentrated type of detergent, and so it came in a smaller bottle. And these celebrities did, who came up with their marketing campaign, is they hired little people for their commercials and for their advertisements, and but they continuously used the word midget throughout the episode in a very kind of contemptful, derogatory, kind of mocking way. And for the community of people of short stature, what we refer to as the M word is kind of similar to the community of people with intellectual disabilities and how they and how many of us feel about the R word. And so there was a lot of a response going on to that, and some of it was getting attention along the lines of the media. And so when Little People of America came to New York, a writer from the Huffington Post was aware that we were there, and so he invited me to be on a program with him, a radio program where we talked about the issues. And following that, he became a great resource for Little People of America. Whenever we had things happening, we would send information his way, and he would write about it. And after we had worked together a few times, he gave us the opportunity to start writing ourselves. That actually came another issue we had was earlier this year on the Rosie O'Donnell show. Rosie O'Donnell did some things on her show that many people of short stature were uncomfortable with, and we wanted to get our message out there. And at that point, our connection with the Huffington Post gave us the opportunity to write from our first person. And so I jumped at that, and so I was able to write a couple of things about what happened on Rosie O'Donnell, and then Rosie O'Donnell actually responded to our concerns publicly on a show, and so I was able to comment on that. And then I actually wrote an essay about baseball too. So usually it's political disability issues that I write about, but sometimes I veered off the course a little bit.
Yeah, I think I recall seeing something about the Cubs on there.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that was it.
Well, you know, it's really kind of interesting that you have this outlet for your voice, essentially, that is really a mainstream media kind of format. It's not special to disability, and it's really very infrequent, I think, that disability is even featured in the news. So this is really a wonderful opportunity, I would think. What has your response been?
Well, for the most part, it's been positive. I want to go back for a second and deliver a little bit of a caveat, though, to what you just said. And we did have to work a little bit at it. But the first few times that our pieces, and this isn't when we were writing the pieces, I don't think, but when pieces were being written about of the work of Little People of America, it was falling on the Huffington Post under the category of weird news, to some effect kind of diminished the messages that we were trying to send in the stories. But I mean, people responded to that. The community responded to that, and allies within the disability community, not part of the dwarfism community, responded to that and said, you know, this really is kind of working across purposes and defeating the purpose of the message we're trying to send when we get categorized under that. And then, to the credit of the Huffington Post, they listened and they, you know, changed the category. Now it's falling under more of the mainstream news. To go to the immediate question now about what the response has been, it's generally positive, but I think as many people in the disability community know who are working on issues, particularly issues of language. Language is one of the one of our, it's not our only focus, but oftentimes when we're speaking publicly, we're talking about language issues. For some reason, and I think that the disability community sees this sometimes when around issues of the R word, people often don't feel like when we present issues like that, people feel like we're telling them what to say. And we're saying, you can't say that, and this is what you have to say. And usually when it comes across like that, the reaction can be very negative. All of a sudden people start bringing up issues like political correctness or First Amendment rights and, things like that. So I think it's very important, like, how we frame it. I think the news segment, prior to this, was talking about Ann Coulter. And her use of the R word and her response to the community's concern about that. And, I thought there was this really interesting article on, I'm trying to remember where it appeared on Mediaite, I think it was called, on the internet. And, it was kind of talking about Ann Coulter's response and, but it was kind of framing the intent of the community. Like, I think the disability community and specifically the little people community, when we're talking about language, you know we can't tell people. You know, what they can and can't say. That's a decision that people have to make for themselves. I think it's our job to equip people with information and let people know, you know, when you use these words, or when you treat people in this way, this is the reaction you're going to get. And, you know, you're going to be closing doors on people. You're going to be treating people negatively. And I think our job again is to equip people with information so they can make what we think is the right decision. We can't really tell them, what to do or say. And so I think as an organization, Little People of America tries to frame things that way. You know, we present people with information, about our community, about the things that we're trying to achieve, and then, you know, leave it to people to make the decision, and hopefully they'll make the what we think is the right decision. Not long ago, a member of Little People of America posted a letter in his neighborhood paper, again around issues of language. It was in response to a Saturday Night Live skit, that again used the word, the M word, the word midget. And this guy posted, what I thought was a very good post. He was talking about how, you know, Saturday Night Live meant so much to him growing up, and, you know, but this word is offensive and it makes him feel this certain way. And he put it out there, and he was saying, like, I don't know if I can watch anymore if the show continues to use the word. And unfortunately, like, the post, the comments to that post were very negative, because people were interpreting the letter as, you know, this guy is telling us what we can and can't say, and no one's going to tell me what I can and can't say. So I think issues of language can be tricky sometimes in terms of how we present the information, and we never know how people are going to present the information. But by and large, as an organization, you know, people have responded favorably to our efforts to raise awareness around language and other issues.
Right. And I think in many ways, the language used by Ann Coulter in her tweets was actually intended to arouse attention and so forth. So, you know, in a case like that, there's not much that you can do, because the more you say, the more you encourage that kind of usage.
Absolutely, absolutely. Only hopefully, while it's encouraging her own use of the words, hopefully, for anyone following the issue, that, you know, it's going to provide new information to them, maybe to people who may not have known about the language issue in the past, and hopefully they'll then be equipped to make a good decision about language in the future.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about Little People of America. What, obviously, you're campaigning against use of the M word, and probably, I'm assuming, treatment of people of short stature in the media that is less than flattering. So if you could give folks contact information, you know, where can they go to get more information about dwarfism, maybe join Little People of America?
Oh yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. Our website is probably the best way to go. And the website is www.lpaonline.org. So it's lpaonline.org.
Excellent. Thanks for joining us today, Gary Arnold.
Thanks.
President of Little People of America. You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, joined today by two guests on the phone, Allison Copet and Tim Stone, who are both residents of L'Arche, Chicago. And you're going to learn a little bit about L'Arche, Chicago today and a little bit about what both of these folks do in that home. Welcome to the show, Tim and Allison.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Well, you know, there's so much to talk about that I'm really not sure where to start. So, Tim, why don't you just kind of start by introducing yourself first, and then we'll have Allison introduce herself, and I'll just start throwing questions out there that both of you can answer. How's that?
Okay, good.
Sure.
I'm Tim Stone, and I live at L'Arche, Chicago. It's a home with people without disabilities live together as a family. And that's a great place to live, and I love it. And that's who I am.
And how long have you been there, Tim?
I've been there since 2010.
Mm-hmm. So a couple
of
years.
I moved in 2010, May.
Okay, and we'll come back to you and talk a little bit about your involvement and kind of what you do in the house. And so let's go to Allison and have her introduce herself.
Hi, I'm Allison. I'm an assistant at L'Arche, Chicago, and I've just been here since September of this, well, this past September, so it's just over 7 months.
So you're a newbie.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I'm glad you could make it on the show. So, Allison, tell us a little bit about what you've learned about L'Arche since coming on as a staff member there.
Sure. Well, the first thing is that we don't, in the past when I've worked in disability, I have been a staff member, but here it's more just about being a member of the community.
Well, that's true because you live there, right?
Yeah, and so, you know, we all share the same kitchen, we share the same bathrooms, and, like, in a lot of ways it is like living in a family. And I think what L'Arche is really great at is celebrating the gifts that we have and also celebrating that we need each other. And so, as an assistant, I help people advocate for themselves, and they also help me. And so, you know, we work together as this little system, as a family, and it's been really interesting to become a part of that and to learn how this kind of alternative system works, because I think it is an anomaly, or at least it is quite unique. So, yeah.
Of course. So how, you know, you say you've been in the traditional system out there, and I don't know what role it was, but a lot of people who listen to this program and who are in the world of disability in general understand CILA, the community living community integrated living arrangement, which is the concept of a traditional group home where people might live that staff 24 hours a day and the staff comes and goes. And obviously you've talked about one difference already with L'Arche. And just for those who are confused, it's L'Arche. It's a French, it's a French concept, correct?
Mm-hmm.
How, other than the fact that people with disabilities and people without disabilities all live together in the home, how else would you describe it as being different from a traditional CILA?
Well, I think one thing that we try to do is, while we do support people, we also try to celebrate independence and recognize that as a human right and also a need that people have, as well as the need to live together and to support each other. And I think celebrating independence in that way is unique to L'Arche. I think sometimes there are a lot of rules that are set in more traditional systems that we try to back off of a little bit and trust each other. I mean, I think there's so much that the core members do in this community that they're so good at because they've lived here for so long. I've lived here for 7 months, so there's a lot of direction that I take from the core members. Tim's been here for a few years. We have core members in our house who've been here for 13 years. So I think recognizing that mutual exchange is something that does set L'Arche apart from maybe other houses or other systems.
And I hate to keep picking apart the language here, but just so people understand the difference, core members,
sure,
that's the language that you use to describe individuals with disabilities who live at L'Arche.
Yes.
And other folks are called what?
Assistants.
Assistants, okay.
So we have two assistants and one house coordinator. And so the assistants and the house coordinator do support in help, you know, people who need more support, and then we have four core members in this house.
And so what kind of supports in general do you provide to folks?
I think we do support in daily life activities, so you know, cooking dinner or doing cleaning, and we will do those things with core members. And, you know, like helping people schedule appointments if they need that, or getting ready for an event, or those things that sometimes people just either need some physical help or just some emotional support or any of those. But we do a lot of emotional support. And we also, though, really encourage people to advocate for themselves. And I think that's something that is really pulled out of you at L'Arche, because as soon as you get here, you realize that people have so many gifts, and the best thing that we can do is to help them exercise those. And so I think that shows up a lot in helping people advocate for themselves.
So I'm going to put you on the spot, Allison. Tell me about,
sure,
tell me about Tim's gifts. What does he bring to the house?
Oh, Tim has so many gifts. Tim is so interested in people. I hope you don't mind me saying all of these things, Tim, but
no,
Tim has really, really strong passions and a really deep curiosity for learning. And he's a wonderful cook. Tim cooks like four nights a week at L'Arche with assistants and has amazing ideas to come up that he comes up with. And Tim's a really amazing people person and can relate to a lot of people and loves meeting people. And people remember Tim when they come to our house. He has so much to share and so many gifts. Also, one of one of which is his passion for coffee, which he'll talk a little bit about. But Tim has this really incredible hobby that will one day turn into something much bigger that hopefully he'll be able to share with a much greater community. And I think he has that in him, this like forward-thinking attitude that he's really able to express his dreams for the future, and it's very inspiring.
Well, Tim, I hope that didn't embarrass you too much.
No, but not at all.
why don't you tell us a little bit about your life at L'Arche, and especially about this business that you want to start?
Yeah, okay. Well, I love L'Arche because it's a good home for me, and I like the people that I live with. I like all the core members, and I like all the assistants, and I'm really happy that I'm here because they're giving me support, and also life is giving me support on making my dream come true. And right now, my coffee business is a hobby, but right now I'm working towards my business license. Well, then, after that, then I can make it more a business than a hobby.
So what are you doing now to do you want to start a coffee business,
mm-hmm.
but how is it a hobby right now? What are you doing with it right now that
makes
it a hobby?
Well, it's a hobby because right now I'm just doing it as a hobby,
mm-hmm.
but right now I am working towards my business license, where I would, working towards a business license. And right now, it's just a business, coffee, and my dream is to have it more a business where I'll be able to, sell it more and to be legal. Right now, it's just a hobby where right now I'm studying towards my business license,
mm-hmm.
with the help of Misha and the support that I get from L'Arche. And the support that I get from House of Life. And House of Life is a workshop where I go to work, and it's great there too. And they're supporting me on helping me to make my dream come true. Well, my dream in 10 years is to buy an old factory or some building and make it into a roastery, and the next door to it, make it a cafe where I will hire people with and without disabilities and give them equal rights. And that's why it's called Tim's Equality. That's why I picked that name, because it's equality for not only people with disabilities, but for other people without disabilities to come and work there. And my dream is to give equal pay for people. Like, my dream is that I will give the employees a raise first, and then the upper people, like me, who is the founder of the company, and the management and the sale people will get the exact same raise as I gave the employees. No different pay. Women and men will get the same pay. None of that, 1 person gets a higher pay and the other one gets a lower pay. They will get all the same equal pay, no different in salary. And if they get a raise, the employees will get it. And then the higher up people will get the exact same raise. And that's why I want to make this passion come true, because I have a disability, and I want to show